Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is author and historian of Glenn Miller, Dennis Sprague. He will be at the 47th annual Glenn Miller Festival this weekend. Dennis, thank you for joining us this morning. First things first, what is it that drew you into Glenn Miller in the first place?
Well, I had an interesting background with regard to Glenn Miller. My family, at least my father's side of my family, is native to Page County and Montgomery County, Iowa. So I had a lot of relatives and ancestors from Red Oak and Clarinda. And so I knew a lot about Glenn Miller from the beginning as a child, with all the Miller material available in the home. And there was a good connection there. So my father was a broadcaster and had some acquaintance with Miller. So I was exposed to it early, and that wasn't all of it, because later as an adult, I started visiting my relatives in southwestern Iowa in conjunction with the beginnings of the Glenn Miller Festival, and I started attending out of curiosity and met and became acquainted with a lot of people there. And at the same time, my own career had progressed through media management and broadcasting on a national level. And so I had the opportunity to become exposed to a lot of people and places that had something to do with Miller's legacy many years before I was upon the scene in New York and Los Angeles. So to make a very long story short, because of all of that, I became very well acquainted with Steve Miller, Glenn's son, and Alan Cass, my predecessor at the University of Colorado Boulder. And then as my corporate career evolved and I got into the later stages of it, I found that there was a great opportunity to get involved in the history and on the academic side, and eventually became curator. And very pleased with the way it's all gone, and it's been a great honor. At the same time, I've succeeded Steve in some responsibility for the estate of Glenn Miller, working with Sony Legacy, the corporate successor of RCA, people I know in New York. And to make a very long story short, it's quite an honor and responsibility and privilege to be the Glenn Miller historian, so to speak. I've written a book about Glenn called Glenn Miller Declassified, and another one's going to be coming out soon. So it's quite an interesting
thing. So as a part of the 47th annual Glenn Miller Festival, you're going to be doing a presentation tomorrow morning. What is that presentation focusing on?
I do an annual presentation at the festival with regard to Miller history. Alan started the thing with a profile of Glenn Miller, and I've continued it over the years. And it tends to be in conjunction with anniversaries in 2022, when we resumed the festival after COVID. We had the year 1942 in focus. Last year it was 1943, and this year, 1944, which arguably is the most important year in Miller history. It's when his military orchestra, the Army Air Forces Training Command Orchestra, was sent to England, to the European Theater, to entertain and staff the Allied radio network in London and appear at air bases all over southeastern England. And then eventually the idea was to move the band to France, and that's in the fall and on into December of 1944, where some other things happen, unfortunately, with Glenn Miller, where he disappears in a plane accident. So we have a big event on Saturday where we're going to talk about the events of 1944 musically and in terms of Miller's broadcasting activities and personal appearances, and then we'll wrap that up with a discussion of what happened to him and the airplane crash that he was involved in.
And so outside of your presentation, what are you looking forward to at this year's Glenn Miller Festival?
This is going to be a very important Glenn Miller year. At the festival this year, a lot of people are coming from all around the world a number of folks who come every couple of years are all descending upon Clarinda this year. A number of VIPs that I'll be connected with and hosting from University of Colorado, from places as far away as Germany and Japan, as well as a number of people. Alan Cass's wife, Sue, is coming again this year, and a lot of people are very familiar with her and Clarinda, as well as Judy Pulich, the wife of Miller collector and historian Ed Pulich, my colleague who passed away a couple months ago. So it's going to be a very poignant and a very special year in Clarinda for the Glenn Miller community.
You know, this obviously isn't your first year attending, but, you know, as someone who attends nearly every year, what is it like attending every year and interacting with other fans, new and old?
Well, there's a whole big mix of people that come to Clarinda every year for the weekend. As I said earlier, they come from a lot of places, from Europe, Asia, all around the United States. Yes, the Glenn Miller fanatics, the collectors, the real hardcore group, they'll be there. I say that in great love for all of them, as well as a number of casual people who are just curious about Glenn Miller and want to learn more about the music. What I've noticed in the last few years is there's been a generational change in the attendance in Clarinda. A lot of the folks that became familiar with Glenn Miller as young people during his lifetime or shortly thereafter have passed along, and we've had a whole new generation come in, and it's very encouraging to see the number of people coming to Clarinda who are younger, particularly the dancers that want to come from all around the Midwest on the Saturday night Glenn Miller Orchestra appearance, because that's been a dance now for the last few years, and they're very active in that. So you get a really nice mix of different cultures and different points of view and different age groups descending upon the festival weekend. And I think they all, it's not just the really good onion rings at a certain restaurant in Clarinda. It's the camaraderie and the chance for people who know each other, in some cases for decades. This is their time every year or every few years to reconnect with and meet old friends and share in the love and interest they have in Glenn Miller.
What is it that you think draws younger individuals to Glenn Miller?
I think Miller is interesting as regards jazz artists or big band artists. He's best known certainly from the era that he lived in. And musically, you know, there's a lot of people, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Benny Goodman, many, many that people admire and listen to and follow. But for some reason, Miller transcends all of it. It may be his military service and the fact that he had the successful Army Air Forces Orchestra as well as a civilian orchestra. It may be that his life was cut short at age 40. And so there's a kind of a mysterious or mystique surrounding all of that that sets him aside. But I do think it's the quality of the music and the fact that Miller's music became synonymous with what we now call the greatest generation. And it's almost as though it's the soundtrack of that era. And I think a lot of younger people today are very curious about that era. It may be the era of their grandparents or in some cases their great-grandparents now. In my case, it's the era of my parents. Dating myself a little bit. But the point is that I think there's something very special about it. Glenn Miller was a really good jazz musician. He was an excellent arranger. He was a very good organizer, and he had success that's never been imitated. Even Elvis and the Beatles never had as many number ones as he did in as short a time frame as he did. I think he produced good music in good taste, and it has transcended time.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have, Dennis. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. The biggest thing about the Glenn Miller Festival every year, of course, is the appearance of the current Glenn Miller Orchestra, led by Eric Stabenow. His predecessor, Nick Hilscher, I think, is coming again this year to meet and greet with everyone. Nick's very well loved by the community in southwestern Iowa. Also, the scholarship program, people may not realize that as far as I'm concerned anyway, the number one thing about the festival every year is the fact that we do have scholarship programs for college students all around the United States in instrumental and vocal categories. It's a big part of the mission of the Glenn Miller Birthplace Society, and I think people should really come and focus and listen to these young talents that are getting a chance to move forward with their lives and careers from the festival. And it is just a big part of everything that's going on, in addition to, of course, the great Glenn Miller Orchestra and all the music they produce and all the other bands and singers that are coming. That's another thing I want to mention, that there are a lot of very talented people that come every year, and the different bands and musicians and singers that are there. It's a big deal, and I think people should be really pleased and happy that such a great event does occur locally, and I think people ought to show up. Check it out.
All right, Dennis, thanks for joining me. Once again, that is author and historian of Glenn Miller, Dennis Sprague, who will be doing a presentation tomorrow at the 47th Annual Glenn Miller Festival. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.